Welcome to the Funny Mummies podcast. I'm your host, Hattie Ashdown, and mum to two feral boys. Join us as I welcome a different mum every episode from the world of comedy, as we give no judgment, no filter, but all the laughs on this crazy ride of parenting, work, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!
Okay, welcome to the Funny Mummies with me, Hattie Ashdown, and of course, she's back, Gemma Beagley.
Hello.
I don't know why I said that so light. Gemma Beagley. We are just going to, well, how are you, Gem?
I'm all right, yes. Yeah, I'm all right. New year, new me, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. we missed you on the last episode, and... we're not going to dwell on it. People, if you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it. I'd be vulnerable. And hopefully it was the right tone, I think. Do you think I did the right... You had a little listen.
Yeah, you know, look, you know how I feel about being vulnerable in public. So I'm not the one. I'm not the one to ask if it was okay.
You've been a single mum for about 4 years and we still haven't really talked about
it. No, and we won't.
I'm 4 months and I'm like, yeah, let's talk about
it. Let's go into a deep dive about this.
But, you know, and that's the difference, isn't it? Everyone's different and, yeah, it doesn't, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why I have that need. I just feel like I can't be myself if I'm not honest about where I'm at.
Absolutely.
Gemma's never honest, so why start? Yeah,
I'm just a big fat liar because, you know, because I won't commit my life to the internet.
Okay, so we've got a very special guest today who we have been trying to get for about 3 years, and what I don't say in things is that we actually we're trying to do a live, and it was when we were like, oh, let's do a 90s special or 90s icons and sort of like ones that are parents now and stuff, and like Sarah came up literally by me sort of googling, and then I'm so glad because I literally feel like I check in with a good friend every day when I go onto her Instagram, and I've never met her, never spoke to her until we did this podcast, and we sort of flagged up the sort of benchmark topic of talking about vulnerability online, but boy, we went everywhere, didn't we, Gemma?
We did, and she's just so adorable, and she's such a professional, and she just, you know, she's a media personality who's been in the business for a really long time, and she's I'm not gonna say she's really reinvented herself, but she's like, yep, this is my lot, and it was really lovely to hear that, and I'm really pleased for her. I'm just, you know, this 90s girl who watched The Girly Show and Live and Kicking and all that.
Wanker of the week. That?
I'm absolutely delighted for her. I'm delighted for her. It's great. Great guest.
Well, yeah, people that don't know, she was a presenter on Live and Kicking, The Girly Show, MTV, Nickelodeon, Top of the Pops. She also acted in a musical drama film, Velvet Goldmine. She's been a panellist on Loose Women. She, yeah, like you say, very, very professional. And I feel like I just love to go around her house. I feel like she'd be very inviting. And I don't know, I might be completely wrong, but I just get that feeling. I basically want her to be my friend. And it's work. It started today.
So she's your Holly Walsh.
Yes! well, no, really, like, yeah, I want me and her to present something, don't I? Like Tess and Claudia on Strictly. That's what we need. That's what the world needs. I give to you, ladies and gentlemen, Sarah Kaywood. And here she is, the 90s icon, sensi sensation, the ever upbeat pocket rocket. That's what I like to call you. I don't know if you mind that. Mum of two, broadcaster, TV presenter and actor, darling, Sarah Kaywood.
Hello, ladies. Yes, pocket rocket every time. I'm only 5'1". And of course, I'm going to shrink as I get older as well, aren't I? All right. Thanks, Gemma.
Yes, I should we know each other, Sarah, which we don't, but I should say, and this is Gemma, otherwise known as, at the moment, looking like our sports commentator.
Sorry. I'm reporting from a school soccer field in South London.
Oh, is that where you've been?
Well, that's tomorrow, but yes, yeah.
Oh, I get Andy to do that. I have no, like, that's his thing. Occasionally, if he's had a bit too much to drink on a Friday night, he'll be like, you'll do football tomorrow, won't you? And I go, no, I will not. That's your thing. I do the dancing, you do the football.
Is that so? So you had dancing this morning, is that right?
Well, I told you I had dancing this morning, but it's all changed because this term at her dancing school, very briefly, is show term. And she's not doing the show because my darling in-laws are taking us away to Costa Rica on April the 1st. I know, ooh, get me? Fully paid for. It's that they're boomers that are of the spend it and make memories rather than leave it to your kids when you've got dementia, you know, after you've got dementia or whatever, and or use it to go in the very expensive home. So they're taking us on this holiday of a lifetime. So she can't do the show, which she's devastated about. And I'm like, listen, mate, when you're in the jungle in Costa Rica, you are not going to be thinking about your friends at the Town Gate Theatre in Basildon. It's just not going to happen.
I love that. I love that. Because I think we can all get a bit, oh, you know, with all these classes and stuff and shows. I agree with you. And yeah. I think sometimes we get a bit lost in, no, we've got to be there and we've got to do this. And
I do say to her, if you want to do it professionally, then we need to step it up a gear. And she's getting more into it as time goes on. But I mean, God forbid she does, because I know that I was a very expensive waste of time for my dear old dad.
Because you went to ballet school, didn't you?
I went to the Royal Ballet School, which royally slagged off on Instagram as well. Oh, by the way, is this sweary? I am being known to swear.
Yeah, you can swear.
Okay, I can't help it. Just, I'm like Danny Dyer, just like the fucks just creep in. Anyway, I went to Royal, hated it, got kicked out. And then I went to Arts Ed, which is just down the road in Chiswick, for 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was a ballet dancer. I was in a ballet company for 6 months. And then I did musical theatre for a bit and then got kicked out of Phantom of the Opera, which I was devastated about. But on a whim, just went and did an audition for this agency that I thought, well, they did. They used to look after the girls that danced with Take That and On Top of the Pops, all those sorts of things. And the person that was filming the audition for her mate, who owned the agency, her husband was head of live at Nickelodeon. And so she wanted me to audition for them and the rest, as they say, is history. So yeah, I got a job on Nickelodeon, got headhunted to do the girly show in 1996, then got myself a really good agent, John Knoll Management. I was there with like Davina and...
Oh, you with John Knoll?
I used to think that I was extremely average, like a bit of an average ballet dancer, you know, and I got kicked out of Phantom as well. I could never really sing. But actually, I got into the Royal Ballet School in the first place, and then I was in a ballet company, so I did make it work for a while. And then I was on the West End stage, admittedly only in one show, and I also did Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. With Nigel Harmon was my partner, actually. That was down at the Plymouth Theatre Royal. I don't think any of us can call ourselves average. And I just think I'm 52 this year and I just got no fucks left to give. And also I think I have finally, it's only taken half a century, a really healthy sense of self. So I like myself. It's taken a long time to get here. And I think I'm a decent person and I try and be kind. And if I ever do misstep, it's only ever ignorance or an accident. I would never maliciously say something to upset anybody, you know. And we all do it occasionally, don't we? You think somebody takes something the wrong way, but I'd never intentionally do that. So I'm basically quite at peace with who I am now.
It's so lovely to hear. And I mean, how long would you say that you've been in that mind?
Probably since I started social selling. So I joined Sensi 4 years ago. Is it my 5 year anniversary? Anyway, I wanted to make a bit of extra money so that I could you know, afford Botox and and go shopping without Andy's money. And I hadn't worked, and I've got no qualifications, girls. I literally went to ballet school at 16. I've got no A levels. I didn't go to uni. I couldn't work in a shop. I think I said this on Insta the other day. I couldn't work in a shop or anything because I needed to be available for the school run. And when they were much younger, we couldn't afford the childcare. So I was a stay-at-home mum. I just wanted some extra cash.
I mean, it's a big step up from Avon, is what I'll say. I mean,
well, the thing is, like I said, Avon's such an old company now that you'd be, I mean, and if you want Avon, you go on the website and buy it. You don't really need to find yourself an Avon lady. Whereas if you want to buy Scentsy or Beyond Beauty, you've got to find yourself a lady.
But that's what I think people loved about Avon. And I remember another one. Oh, what was one my mum used to go to? And they'd have parties.
Ann Summers. Ann Summers, yeah. But my mum did Vanda, which was another beauty company back in the 80s. Because when I joined... Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go on, Hattie.
Sorry. Go on. You carry on.
Well, no, when I joined, Mum was like, oh, you don't make any money out of those things. And I'm like, ha ha, that showed you, Mum.
Yeah. Because I think in them days, they just enjoyed having the parties.
Yeah. And I still love having parties. Well, I'm going to have a few skin socials, actually, because I've got a friend.
Oh, do you do parties then?
Yeah, well, I went for the so my friend Jane, who joined my team, she's got she does facials and stuff. So we're just going to have a little skin social around here soon and invite our friends, and she'll do a little mini facial, and then people can get their faces analysed using the app and see what's recommended for them, and we can get them to try the products and all the rest of it. And there's the thing is, people go to those parties and they think, oh, I'm going to have to buy something. Don't. There is never an obligation to buy anything. It's just really, I just like having people around my house, you know, and if they're having a lovely time, like I've got a Thermomix, which I don't sell, ladies will be relieved about. But, you know, I had a little Thermomix party and the lady came around and showed us how to, and it was fun. I loved it. And it was delicious food. And I got to learn how to use it. And I'm just, you know what, maybe I'm just a 70s woman stuck in a 21st century body. I'm just, yeah, I should. And I do, when I drop off my Scentsy to my local customers, they open the door and I go, Scentsy calling.
But don't you think, I think, and I want to get on to in a minute about some of your posts. But some of it's, I do think that some of it is a sense, for me, talking about working in a shop, I did work in a shop last year, didn't work out. One thing I loved about it was the sense of community.
Yes.
And I think, and it was because it was in a charity shop and I was assistant manager, blah, blah, blah. But look, I'm blah, 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 assistant manager. For 4 months.
Yeah, just throw that one away.
Yeah, 4 months system. But what I did take away from it was really realizing how much I missed, and I think us as a generation or whatever don't have that sense of community. And I think that's why we dive into social media and we call it doom scrolling, but I think it should be just called communicating scrolling.
Absolutely. I love it. Like, I don't know about you. I'm on Twitter, X, whatever, but I never go on it. And I'm sure Elon Musk will probably deactivate me at some point or take my blue tick away, which I couldn't give a hoot about either. But it's full of trolls. And I'm very careful never to post politically because... or any sort of news or whatever, all the horrible news, the stuff that's been in the news recently, because I simply don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to talk amongst it privately amongst friends, but what I love about Instagram is, for me, it's really quite fluffy and it's lovely. And I aim to make my page, I actually pivoted recently. I've been watching loads of social media managers on Instagram, picking up some tips. And I did a little pivot, rewrote my biog. And really what I want to provide people with is just a dose of how sometimes life is really normal. Like somebody once said to me, and this is so true, I think in this age of mental health and wellness, everybody is looking for some sort of non-existent nirvana. But life essentially is a series of mundanities punctuated by the odd good day and the odd bad day. And that is life. And we're all searching for a life that is one big, you know, my mental health is fantastic. And so I just aim to be really relatable. And so if I'm having a bad day, I usually say so. If I'm looking a bit shit, I will gently, right, this morning my hair was mental and I just put it was like that. I was like, what's going on? And I just want people to come to me and just feel like that, like, oh, it's okay, because, you know, we're all just the same at heart, really. We're all just the same underneath it all. We're all got the same struggles. We're all pretty much doing the same. I mean, obviously, you know, that some people have more money than others, but essentially even that you realize doesn't really matter when it comes to, like, just finding the joy in simple things. Fern Cotton said on our podcast a few years ago, I said, what would your advice be to anybody, like, on a daily basis? What's your daily thing? And she just said, look for the magic. And I was like, that's incredible. Just look for the magic. Like, in, I look out the window and you know, I can see the mud flats of the estuary, but I can see them. You know, and I can smell my lovely Scentsy, and I'm talking to you, and I can see you, and I just be grateful, man. I realize that people are probably going, fuck off, Sarah, you really annoying me. but I just think, what have you got if you just can't find the magic in the little things? So
You also bring the real. No, I was just going to turn it round to, sorry, Gemma, go on.
Well, I was gonna ask about the responses that you get online then, and I agree. I mean, I stay off Twitter. I just think it's hell. I think it's hell on the internet.
Yeah.
And I think it should be moved to the dark web. That's how I feel about
Yes. Let's do it.
Whereas Instagram is, you know, it is fluffy and just the ease of being able to unfollow and all that sort of stuff. So I'm wondering about the responses that you get to your posts when you are. You know, when you are, I don't want to call it vulnerable or anything, but you're just saying, I'm not having a great day.
Oh, everyone's so nice.
What's the response?
Yeah, people are just absolutely lovely, and they will, you know, I try and at least like every response I get, and I try to reply. But people have made the effort to tell you that you'll feel better soon, or I hope you feel better soon, or I'm sending you a virtual hug. If people can be bothered to actually slide into my DMs or be kind and say nice things, then the very least I can do is try and with my slightly larger following is provide them with some content they like. Do you know what I mean? And also, as Katie Hill told me, I did her coaching course, and Katie and I worked together on Live and Kicking, and I always say to her, you know, telly broke my heart because it gave up on me and I just couldn't get arrested, and God rest her soul, Caroline Flack started taking all the jobs that I would have historically been up for, and then I watched her soar, you know. But Katie said, you are broadcasting. You're broadcasting every day. She said, you've got your own little channel. She said, so stop moaning about it. So I did.
Well, I was going to ask you that, because I wonder whether... Do you remember that post ages ago that I shared? Because it just caught me, and I really wanted to bloody hug you.
Yeah.
But I also really resonated with me. And it was a post where I think it was called something like...
I remember exactly what it was, Hattie. It was when I was moaning about how I did feel a slave to
social
Instagram.
Media gives and takes. That was it.
Yeah. And it was... Yeah, go on.
Oh, and yeah, that's it. I was just going to say that, you know, that was obviously about being very vulnerable. And I know other people might go, it sounds weird to say I loved it, but I loved it because it was real. I related to it. And I think you talked about stuff that not many people can relate to, which is when your life and your work does rely on, on social media, and people don't sort of understand that. And the big one that went for me was ding ding ding, was that your shop is always open.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like,
because it's it's social selling, micro influencer, that's another thing they call direct sales, girl. So I'm a micro influencer, but with that micro bit comes the, you know, the necessity to treat every single customer really special. It's not like a shop. It's not like somebody comes in, pays for something and buggers off. You've got to, you know, make them feel special, do the follow-ups, make sure they know about special offers and everything. And that is part of social selling that I both love and loathe, actually, if I'm
Can
honest.
I just say, you are so good at that, though. Your packaging of my Scentsy stuff was just so exciting. And, you know, for somebody who's spending their first Christmas as a single woman, I was like, oh, I just felt special. It was so nice. But yes,
oh, lovely.
On.
You're listening to the Funny Mummy podcast.
Yay!
Now can I go back?
Yeah.
We've got, so I'm like, we've got a loft extension, which was had been here for years. And so my office is up here because it gets too hot for Andy. He is the hottest man I know in all senses of the word. And he's downstairs in what sort of doubles up as the kids sort of like where they keep all their toys that they still do play with and crafty stuff. But he's down there and I'm up here. So he rings me all the time, which I also I'm just like really fucking irritating. Just stop it.
So I love it when you're doing a live sometimes. You're like, Andy's trying to get through to me. You just swipe him away.
And yes. Like, and he'll keep doing it. And I'm like, fuck off. Fuck off.
Oh my gosh, I'm just checking anything else. I think we've covered nearly everything I wanted to talk to. Well, I just wanted to let it flow, which it has does.
Yeah. Were you asking about things that kids do?
Oh yes.
Thank you for
reminding me.
That's all right. So let me just tell you so Hunter's 11 and Autumn's 10. And he's at a local grammar school. He's a bit of a brain box. He's like, my dad passed away in October and he is very much my father incarnate. He's the only grandchild out of all of them that really, him and my dad definitely had a synergy. Dad was a surgeon and Hunter really wants to go into medical science of some description. And they just...
Well, they're such great names for children, by the way.
Oh, they're both American names, weirdly. Hunter and Autumn. They're more popular in America. But also, spot the telly couple. Spot the media twats who called their kid like Hunter and Autumn Merry. Like, I'm like, you will do something with that name. I was bloody Sarah Kaywood. How boring. But Hunter Merry, he's going to do something. And Autumn Merry, I mean, he's going to be like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, they've got
them. Skincare's more expensive than mine.
I think I did a similar thing with mine, Huxley and Buster. I mean,
Huxley was going to be Autumn's name if she was a boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love that name. And my mother-in-law, when we told her, she was like, she did that mother-in-law face. Well, they're like, she went, oh, that's a bit, ooh.
And I had that about Buster, my mother-in-law.
I love Buster.
Yeah, she was like, oh, no.
Yeah, no, it's great. And it's just a strong name as well. It's a really strong name. I love it. Kid logic. Well, it wasn't so much logic. It was just a conversation that we had that was lovely. He said to me, we were talking about female genitalia in biology. Oh. And he said to me, so do babies come out the same place as we? And I was like, no. And so he was like, well, I really don't understand the biology of it. And so I went on to Google. He went, no, I don't want to see it. I went, I'll just get diagrams up. I'm not going to show you a real woman's vagina. Chill out. excuse me. So I went on and I ended up giving him the biology lesson that he'd needed originally, where I pointed out.
How old is he?
He's 11, 12, okay. 12 in March. So I was like, that's where the clitoris is. That's where the urethra is. This bit, that hole there is anything inside of that is the vagina. Don't make the mistake of calling the whole bit a vagina. It's what's inside. I said, and the outside with those fat lips and then those droopy whizzled things, like shriveled things, is the vulva. And he was like, oh, okay. And where's the bum? And I was like, that you can't see. Let me get a different diagram up to get one where you can see. And there's her bum. He went, oh, so there's a little bit of skin between it. Yeah, so that's perineum. So we had the bar and I was just like, thank God that I have a relationship with my children where I can talk about that. Because the other thing is, so she's not had her sex ed classes yet. He started them in primary school.
And
year six, the last year.
Oh, yeah.
I said to him, did you talk about masturbation? And he was like, what's that? So I went, it's when you touch yourself and it feels nice. And he went, no, they didn't mention it. Anyway, I said, well, listen, right, okay, they're not going to mention it. I am. Autumn's in the car as well. She's like, really, mummy? I was like, just listen to this. I went, I'm only going to talk briefly about it. I said, masturbation is basically a key part of growing up. I said, and you touch yourself and it feels nice. And it is a private endeavor for private. You know, you don't get, like, start doing it while you're watching the TV downstairs. I said, do it, bedroom doors closed, all the rest of it. But it's not bad for you. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel ashamed. No one had that chat with me when I was your age. And I was doing it and I didn't know what it was. And then when I found out, I felt like the filthiest, dirtiest, sleaziest little girl that ever walked the earth. And I've never quite stepped away from feeling guilt and shame around self-love. And wow. I just think it's so important for them to, because he's probably 2 years away from, you know, wanking into socks. And I'm going to make sure that, I'm going to say to him, please don't do that. Just use a tissue. I'll put a bin in your room with a liner in it. And, you know, you knock yourself out if you want to. But just make
sure. You are Pam from Gavin and Stacey. You realise this. This is
me. Am I? Well, I'll take that as a compliment, I think.
You know, when she comes in with the condoms and she says, here's the condoms, I'll put my earplugs in, you go for it.
Oh, brilliant. Well, yes, I just think that's it. And also, I just think there's not, I think sex education in this country is very, it talks in terms of facts and not in terms of feelings. And I really think, like the Dutch way, they talk about consent in with sex and consent
and pornography.
With everything. And pornography, and because men, oh, really? Like little boys, expect girls to all have pink anuses because obviously porn stars bleach them, and they expect them to have really beautiful vaginas. And I've never seen a beautiful vagina unless it's been on a porn star. And they expect them to like have orgasms that last for hours because obviously porn stars go sound like they're coming for the whole of the endeavor, and it's just not like that. And it's messy and silly and noisy in the most embarrassing ways. And yeah. I just think we've just got to set kids up, specifically boys who will watch porn, to know that that is not real
Hollywood.
Life.
That is Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
That is a superhero movie in the same way that you can't grow wings and fly.
Yes,
this is a directed movie, and that is what that the fantasy for me is that is what I'm going to that is what I'm going to say to my son, which is this. Pornography, that's not real.
Yeah, and I don't want Hunter to, I've told him, I've said, just be careful when you're, you know, when I said you can find it really easily on the internet. He's quite innocent, he's quite young for his age. I said, just be very mindful if you go looking for it, that you can't unsee what you will see. And it can be quite disturbing for a child, I think. I mean, like, heard horror stories from other mums in junior school of kids stumbling upon it. And you just, I find some porn quite disturbing. You know, I'm all for just some couple filming their sex life. I think that's really quite sweet. But some of it is just so many shades of wrong. And I just want to set them both up for knowing that that's, like you say, Gemma, that's Hollywood. That's not real life.
And you cannot unsee
that's,
that.
That's just Pandora's box, isn't it? And quite literally.
I think I saw that one. I think I saw
it. How was it good?
No, it was just the same old formula, really.
Yeah, yeah. Shaggy.
I mean, nothing turns your children off wanting to talk or look into sex than your mum talking about it. But
well... Well, just very quickly after this conversation I'd had with Hunter, I told him, I said, the clitoris, I said, that feels really nice when it's stimulated, and that's what makes
you
want to have sex.
I wonder whether you was
he'd said, I said, it's a bit redundant for you at the moment, but one day you'll want to get your head down there. And he went, what? And I went, well, you know, it's oral sex and that feels nice for a woman. And he went, do you and daddy do that? And I went, on occasion. And I went, does that completely gross you out? And he went, no, not really. And I was like, yes.
Oh my gosh. That was quite.
Yeah. I mean, if he walked in on it, I'd probably sky him for life. I'm saving for the day. But to be honest, I'm menopausal, so he won't walk in on it. Poor Andy.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you brought that, because recently a friend of mine was sort of worried about her son. She kept sort of finding certain things in his Google. I mean, she doesn't let him on Google, so I don't know where he was. But anyway, she was sort of. I don't know whether he got her phone or something. There was something where he, a couple of times she, and he's only eight, she's nine, looking for just, it was always to do, I said, well, what's he looking for? She says, it's always like naked. He just wants to look at naked bodies. And she was like livid. And I was trying to persuade her, like, the more you sort of make it a big thing, and
the more they'll look for it. And why doesn't she sit with him and say, what interests you about, like, it might just be that he's really, because boys don't get to see what's in our undercarriages. And then he might just be naturally curious to know what the difference is between boys and girls. And like Hunter, that was the other thing he said. This is a bit of kid logic. He said something about, oh, that was it. He didn't know. He was a bit perturbed about the fact that semen and wee come out the same place in men. And I had to explain to him that there's a valve that shuts off between the two, so it can't happen at the same time.
Thank you. I need to know that, I think.
Yeah. I think that was it. And he was just, and also he didn't know that testicles are outside, well, your scrotum and your testicles are outside your body because sperm have to be kept at a cooler than body temperature. He didn't know that. I was quite surprised he didn't know that. And we talked about the MMR jab, and I said to him that you have that because if you got mumps when you were a teenager, it could make you infertile. We talked about, and I'm just so pleased that I can talk to them about that quite easily.
That's nice.
I could talk to my mum as well, but perhaps not on that level. I found the joy of sex in my parents' bedside table when I was about 11, and it scarred me for life. I was fascinated. I'd be in there every day when they were out, trying to work out where the beard ended and the pubic hair started because it was the 70s.
But yeah, we did, didn't we? I mean, yeah, no, I had nothing. There was, you know, my dad died when I was quite young, so there was no pornos around or,
There was Judy Blume for us.
There was Judy Blume.
Are you there, God, it's me, Margaret, and forever. Yeah. Is that what you said? That was how I learned about sex, really, forever.
And Just 17 for me, the problem pages of Just 17 magazine for me.
And was it Miz? No, not Miz.
More
for position of the week. That was
position
a bit. I was a bit older.
Yes.
More magazine was ace.
It really was. It was fantastic.
And was it Miz or there was another one that was, I think, that I read when I was older that was really like it used to have a page where it would show you how to change a tire or how to wire a plug and stuff like that. Minx magazine.
Oh yeah,
that was amazing. It was like literally like, you know, smash the patriarchy.
Go, boss.
Yeah.
Unless you've got any mummy enemy number ones. I know I sent you that late, but so don't worry if you have
mummy enemy number ones. I just think anyone on Instagram I really can't, but I do follow a few of these accounts, but the accounts that are kind of the Insta mum brigade, the ones that do the little boxes and they cut out flower shaped sandwiches I'm just like, it's not real, nobody has the fucking time, do you know what I mean? But there is an audience for that, and the thing that I should definitely say at the same time is that they're just not my tribe, and the other thing about social media is you find your tribe, you don't have to follow those people. That's why I don't like if people ever say anything negative. I just say you don't have to follow me.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to engage. You can just like, you know, this is like if I think somebody said something. I was talking about the skincare, and she said, "Well, it's just eating well and drinking water." And I actually said to her, I did say that in a post yesterday. I said, listen, amongst other things, you can't just put shit on your face and hope it's going to work. You've got to work with your insides as well as your outsides. So look, got me water.
Yeah.
Don't drink.
Yeah, you can't be eating McDonald's and sitting down and then expect all those products to work.
And
as
also,
well.
And also, just mental health as well. It drives me mental, no pun intended. When people are just, I just think the first day, and this is, it's so boring to hear, but your first stage in a mental health battle, I think, is to start moving, even if it's just a walk around the block. I think to start moving is so key. And I just think eating badly, not exercising, and then taking a pill to solve it all is just, it's not really getting to the root cause of it. And listen, I'm on antidepressants, so I'm very much not against medication. But I take them really. You know what? I'm actually too scared to try life without them. Because I went.
Mind me asking how long you've been on them? Because I was on and off them
for donkey's years. Always like from back in telly days, but usually an event that triggered a really depressive episode, and I would need that. You know, when you're so down, you can't get out of bed, and then an antidepressant would just bring you up to a level where you can function.
Yes.
And the self-harm thoughts go away or whatever. So I would take them just to get to that stage, and then always on them for a year or so, and then taper them off. And then I've been on them because I can't take HRT because I had breast cancer last year.
Oh, yes.
So I take them for like menopausal anxiety. I'm pretty much post-menopausal, I think, now. But I am a little bit too scared. And I upped the dose a bit when Dad died just so I could basically get through that initial stage of shock and grief without and still function. He was old and infirm, and I feel very lucky to have had him. He was 81 and he wasn't living the life he wanted to. So it was a blessing that I take great comfort in knowing it's exactly what he wanted. He was just sitting around waiting to die. And he was completely at peace with it as well. He was ready. He was more than ready. So it's actually been perhaps an easier process than I thought it would be. But I need to look into tailing them off, really, and seeing. I mean, I can always go back on them, but I do, and I need to get. I've had 3 weeks off from the gym because of Christmas, so it's back to it. Andy's going away next week, so I can't go early because I can't leave the children on their own in the house. But the week after that, it's back to the 5:30 a.m. starts.
I was going to say, are you still getting up at 5:30?
Well, it's just, you know what, Hattie, if I don't do it, it won't get done. If I leave it, and I don't really have time during the day, I like to get home from the school run, get the beds made, get tidied up and hit the ground running, script writing or, you know, all the other things that I need to do with the social selling and what have you, and following up with customers and just being generally a good egg to my customers. And I just won't find time to exercise. And in the evenings, I like to be in my PJs by 7:30. So like evening exercise is not the one.
This is my new thing. I don't believe in resolutions or whatever, but I was come on, I've got to start getting to bed earlier and up earlier, I think.
Yeah, I'm cock-a-hoop at the moment. I think I gave myself a bit of food poisoning yesterday. I had some bubble and squeak from Christmas Day veg, and it's a while ago, isn't it? And I felt really rough, and my guts are always a bit tender anyway because I had a bowel resection a few years ago. So I had a good night's sleep last night and I woke up wet, ready to take on the world, and I got up at 8, so that's a lie-in for me. So now I've got you know what, it's accountability. So my friend Claire gets up really early, so I think I should go to her and just say, right, start checking. I'm up at 8:30, like just messaging.
I can't do anything without accountability now.
No, me neither.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Gemma, I feel like I've talked. I've barely spoken to you. Like, I've barely heard Gemma and you talk. I'm so sorry.
No, this is what we like.
Exactly.
Gemma, I was going to say, what's your New Year's resolution? But let's not call it resolution. Just
I quite like the ins and outs that everyone's doing. I know.
Yes, I like those.
Because also they're quite. It's just like, this is what I want to do, and we're all allowed to have. You do you. Like, stop saying New Year, New You BS. It's like, no, if I want to drink more water, exercise more, write my gratitudes daily, then I'm setting myself a goal. I'm not expecting you to join in.
So this is what I'm doing. I am doing a daily, and I'm accountable to somebody. I send it to them every day.
Yeah.
A daily people-pleasing diary.
What's that?
Have I people-pleased today? Who did I people-please? Why did I people-please? Just trying to... try not to people please. I just
I was gonna like
it's like an anti people pleasing, not a probably just like I'm have to like it's got painful, and so it's just like
Gemma, that's not the one. That's not I mean, I can't, I don't, I suppose obviously there are people that I have to please because it's my job and I like pleasing those people, but I historically can be a bit of a people pleaser as well, and I don't think I do anymore, really. I'm what I tend to do is do that horrible thing of saying yes to things and then letting people down, which I hate. But sometimes when I've said yes, it's because I'm genuinely up for it at the time.
Yeah.
And then the urge goes away. But I know what you mean. And that is a really good thing to stop yourself doing, because you're not being authentically you if you're constantly trying to please everybody. You can't be.
Well, I'd like you to please me a bit more, Gemma, though. Could that be?
Are you two besties?
And I'm gonna put it in my people pleasing diary. I said no to Hattie.
Yeah, put that in your pipe and smoke it, love. Yay.
Yeah, no, it's a thing of like, it's, you know, like something that I noticed this week was that I stayed behind at work a little bit, and I was just like, I'm people pleasing, and I knew I was doing it. I'm going, I'm people pleasing, I'm people pleasing. And what I realised as well is that I say, oh, well, I'll just do that because it'll only take me this long.
Mm-hmm.
And it always takes me longer. So my person who I'm accountable to said, what are you going to do about this? And I said, I have to assume whatever timescale pops into my head, I'm going to fucking double it.
Yeah, at least double it. That's like, like sorting like desk. I mean, I'm on that New Year mission of tidying all the drawers at the moment. And once I go down that fucking rabbit hole, I'm down there for hours. And then I'm actually, what I do is I procrastinate. That's my version of procrastination. So I'm not following up with customers. I'm not, you know, making reels. I'm not creating, you know, nice, relatable content for people. I'm not, you know, trying to maximize the potential of my businesses. And because they're uncomfortable things to do. Like I did send a broadcast list out to a lot of people in my phone and quite a few telly types that are in my phone, talking to them about Simon Ori and stuff. And I really, my bum clenched the whole time I did it. But if nothing ventured, nothing gained. And I also have to remind other people who do social selling, nobody's holding a gun to their heads. Nobody will buy something they don't want to buy. And if they don't think it works afterwards, or if they don't like it, they just won't buy it again. Or if it's too expensive for them, they'll tell you. Like, you know, people are quite forthright these days, but you have to, I just noticed a woman come up on my feed this morning. She'd gone for 100 rejections in her business inside a year. And she hadn't even managed it. But basically what she was doing wasn't going for the rejection. We call it going for the no, where you just step outside your comfort zone. And you have to do it with podcasting, because presumably you have to approach guests who you really think, I really don't want to ask her because she's probably really busy and she's really fabulous. And but then you ask and then they say yes. And then you feel really amazing about it. But you just hate going cap in hand and saying, I need you. You know, I need you to help me. I think people are so averse to doing that. But I've very much, since I started doing direct sales, that's all part of the job. I have to be. But the one thing I try not to do is, like, occasionally I do it if I think somebody might really benefit. Like if I notice somebody is a beautician and they're following me, I'm like, have you thought about joining Beyond Beauty Club? You've got ready-made client base, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't do it in that sort of annoying, hey Han, sort of way.
Yeah, no, it doesn't fit. You. That's the thing. For me, you sell you, and we all do that. You know, it's like, I think essentially that's what I do with my comedy, or if someone wants to work with me, they want to work with me, because there's lots of other comedians they could work with, but there is also that selling me. But yeah, no, you're not that hey Han.
I hate that. And that's really outdated attitude, actually. There's a fantastic girl on Instagram called No Shame Sales Game, and she just aims to completely, and she's doing it slowly, overhaul frankly outdated attitudes. But there will always be that girl who gives you, like, you'll find out, like, you know, my Sensi sponsor's like, oh, somebody's inboxed me and asked me to join Beyond Beauty. And I'm like, oh God, if she just had a look, she would have seen that she's an SSD. She's really high up at Sensi. There's no way that she'd stop. And it's just like, oh, it makes my bum clench just thinking about it. I'm like, just think, you know, just stop blanket bombing people. But there will always be one. It's like any industry. There'll always be somebody who is doing things in a way that is perhaps outdated or slightly uncomfortable. Nothing I can do about that.
And that's not you. No. Well, we got you. I think we've been trying to get you since 2020.
I'm so sorry.
We were going to do a live, and one day we will do that.
I'd love to. I mean, but it's never that I can't do it. It's just that I'm shit. And it's actually because also everything's in my calendar, but I don't look at my phone every morning. And I need to, that's another in for 2024, is checking my diary, because I just forget things.
Like, do you have a written diary still?
No, I don't, because I can't keep up with it. It's all on my phone. But like 3 days before Christmas, I'm merrily like baking cookies or something, thinking, oh, it's lovely to be off the clock. Get a message from the girl that does my nails. Are you coming? I was already half an hour late for my Christmas nails appointment. That's the most important nail appointment of the year. I only get my nails done for my birthday and Christmas. Oh. And I was like, shit. Anyway, I made it in 5 minutes over there, like literally got in the car and broke all the rules. That's like a fun thing for me. I just forget things. So if you pin me down, as long as you just like text me, ring me, phone me, and just go, are you there? Are you? Because today I was literally just doing some customer follow-ups, and then I looked at my junk mail and I saw your email, and I was like, fuck, I'm doing a podcast with the girls. And then that was when I put, but that was 11:45, so I managed to pull it out of the bag. But
we just did it.
I'm just really easily distracted. I'm like a fucking, like, I'm just like, oh, look at that. It's amazing I don't crash the car every day. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that person. Oh, she looks nice. Oh, oh, that's a nice house. Oh, I'd like to go in there. Oh, that car's a banger. Oh, look, do you know what I mean? I'm just like, I'm like,
I think all the best creatives are, to be honest.
Mm, am I creative? I love you for that.
You are a creative, darling. But and I think what Katie Hill was right. I think what you're doing and what we're all doing, this is how I feel now as well, is I don't know why, but it going on Instagram, doing a post does fulfill that sort of broadcasting need.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we've all got our own TV show now, look.
Exactly, it's look fine. At us, we're fabulous, and ours is way better than anyone else's.
Yeah. So we normally ask at the end if there's anything you want to promote or anyone or anything, and I know you have a million things to promote, but I think people should... I'm just going to butt in and say I think people should go. I know you're not making any new ones, but
yeah,
like a good TV series, you can go back to.
Go back to, it's called Irregular Bitches, and yeah, it's wherever you find your podcast. And we're really proud of it, but for one reason or another, Lou and I couldn't carry on doing it. So there's that, and I love doing that because it felt like I was still broadcasting. But then on Insta, I'm just at Sarah Kaywood, and it's Kaywood, Cawood. And then obviously, you know, if you look in my link tree, you can find the Beyond Beauty links. I think it's wonderful stuff. The Scentsy is gorgeous as well. And then I do, I mean, it doesn't need promoting because I just do it, but I am actually one of the announcing voices on Challenge TV.
Oh, so yes.
If you ever go and watch reruns of The Chase and you hear a female voice, that's me. And I write those as well. So that fulfills the writing need. But one of my goals, two goals for this year, Hattie, yeah, Gemma, so you can find me accountable, is I was telling the girls before we started recording, I've got a box behind me full of diaries that I've been writing. I haven't written them since I met Andy. He was like sort of the happy ending, as it were. But I've been writing those from being a teenager right through till, you know, 2010. They are full of the best gossip and all the toads I've kissed and all the parties I went to. So I would like perhaps to start a Substack where I edit those and put those up maybe weekly, like, so people have a real insight, like a sort of writing, you know, a few pages of a book every week. That's one thing I'd like to do. And the other goal I've got this year is to present a documentary on navigating the menopause without HRT, because Davina put a post up today on Instagram. Well, it was last night, it was late. She was like, I'm hearing from so many women who are miserable because they're thinking they should fight through their symptoms and get on HRT. And I'm like, I love that you're there flying the flag for these women, but what about women who can't take it?
Exactly.
And we're being left out of the conversation so massively. So I spoke to a TV producer friend of mine today, and we are going to start writing a documentary. And because I think it's one that very, very much needs writing. And we had Kate Muir, who was the director of Davina's Docs. We had her on Irregular Bitches before I got my breast cancer diagnosis, and all she did was talk about HRT, and when I listen to it back now, it actually makes me quite cross. Listen, HRT is brilliant. It prevents osteoporosis, it levels out your moods, you know, it is an absolute, it's better for you to take it than not to take it. This is true, this is irrefutable. What happens if you can't take it? How are you going to find your way around all of those horrible symptoms, like the anxiety, the hot flushes, the threat of osteoporosis?
The rage.
Oh, the rage. Oh, Hattie, the rage. I had the rage. I went on antidepressants for the rage, actually, a few years ago, because my poor children did not know what version of mummy they were going to get. And that was when I was very perimenopausal.
Yeah.
So that's another goal for this year. Those are my two goals. Substack and the doco, and then just to carry on building my little businesses, because I absolutely love and believe in everything that I sell. I wouldn't do it otherwise. So
I know you wouldn't. Well, we'll check in with you later in the year then, and
yes, baby. Well, listen, anytime you need anything, just I'm here. I love you guys. I think what you're doing is really important, and yeah, I need to go and follow Gemma on Instagram, actually.
I don't post anything, so but please go ahead.
Nothing.
I'm like a creepy observer that's just there looking at
I'm still going to follow you. What's your name?
Gemma. What's your name? I don't even know what I am.
Well, I know your name's Gemma.
Gemma Beagley. Yeah.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast. Thank you to my co-host today, my guest, and today's show is edited by Scott Kingsnorth. Thank you so much for listening and supporting this show. If you'd like to support it more, I know you can do even more. You can follow us on Instagram at funnymummies_podcast, and that'll tell you all the updates. You can also support us by buying us a coffee or something on one of these fangled things called Ko-Fi. I'll give you the whole address. It's ko-fi.com/HattieAshdown_funnymummiespod. Got that? Thank you for listening, subscribing, and taking the time for you.
Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day! Happy Mother's Day!